This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Two Chicago police officers struck and killed by a train. We've got the story.
Stephen Bodine sentenced in the murder of Evan Brewer. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. A family escapes unharmed after a fire damages their home in northeast Wichita.
Human remains have been identified as a Wichita man missing for over a year. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. We will see some clouding up today, but temperatures should stay fairly nice for this time of year. Our complete update here in just a few minutes.
Two police officers in Chicago were hit and killed by a train as they answered a call about shots fired and were chasing after a suspect. Larry Yellen of Fox TV affiliate WFLD says officers from other parts of the city stepping up to help in the wake of the tragedy.
Once police realized on the scene what had happened, 5th District officers, many of them who would typically investigate an incident in their district, were replaced on the scene to investigate this incident by officers flooding here from other police districts over concern that these officers had been through an awful lot and the emotional distress that they could suffer as they realized that two of their comrades had been hit by the train here.
A suspected gunman is in custody. A man convicted of abusing and killing his girlfriend's 3-year-old son before encasing the boy's body in concrete in their rental home's garage was sentenced Monday. Judge Steve Turnus handed down the maximum possible sentence of 109 and a half years to 41-year-old Stephen Bodine. Bodine was convicted in October of first-degree murder, child abuse, and other charges in the torture and killing of Evan Brewer. Evan's father, Carlo Brewer, said he began seeking custody of his son after noticing signs that he had been abused, and authorities were alerted at least 6 times that Evan was being abused. After the sentencing, Carlo Brewer told KSN News he was pleased with the sentence.
We don't have to worry about him getting out and hurting other children and people. And, I mean, it has turned into a pretty good day.
The boy's mother, Miranda Miller, pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and will be sentenced next month. An attorney for the Brewer family says they are still planning a federal lawsuit that could include local law enforcement and a judge. They contend that if more questions had been asked, Evan might still be alive today.
5 people were able to escape after a fire damaged their home in northeast Wichita.
Around 7 a.m. Monday, firefighters were called to a residence in the 1100 block of North Piatt near 13th and Grove. Arriving fire crews reported heavy smoke showing. 3 people initially managed to escape, but 2 people were still trapped in the basement of the home. Wichita Fire Battalion Chief Jim Wilson tells KSN News that firefighters had to act quickly to save the trapped individuals.
When we got to the rear of the structure, the door was still locked, so we actually forced it to get them out of the back.
The family was checked by EMS for possible smoke inhalation and released. Wichita fire officials say the fire started from a stove that was left on overnight. No damage estimates have been released, and the Red Cross is providing assistance to the family. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Human remains found in Wichita have been identified as a man who was reported missing more than a year ago.
A Kansas hunter found the bones last month in South Wichita. Police spokesman Charlie Davidson said Monday the remains were those of 56-year-old Donald Cook. He was reported missing May 15, 2017. The Sedgwick County Regional Forensic Science Center has identified the remains. The investigation is ongoing. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Today's Wichita City Council meeting carries a busy agenda. Mayor Jeff Longwell tells KNSS News.
There's a lot to get done. You know, potentially this $500 million plus water treatment facility needs to get worked out. That's a rather large investment in our community, and we're trying to figure out how we can best do it and save our ratepayers' money and not raise the water rates.
That new water plant will be located near 21st and Hoover in northwest Wichita. Longwell commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Stephen Ted in the Morning Show here on KNSS.
A man on a rampage was killed after getting flung from a truck during a gun battle with police.
Police in California's Central Valley say Gustavo Garcia already had a long rap sheet when he went on a rampage Sunday that ran well into Monday. They say he shot and wounded a farm worker as well as a woman at a motel, then killed a man at a gas station. Police also allege Garcia fired shots into the backyard of his ex-girlfriend's home. After all that, he stole a truck and led police on a chase that went over 100 miles an hour and smashed into at least four cars. Police and Garcia were exchanging gunfire when he was thrown out of the truck and pronounced dead at the scene. Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time, now 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Home ice tonight for Thunder Hockey. Home basketball tonight for number one ranked Kansas. We'll have previews coming up in sports in a few minutes.
It's being called a miracle. A Texas girl's inoperable brain tumor has disappeared. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. An alleged ISIS sympathizer is accused of plotting attacks against the University of California at Berkeley. Prosecutors accuse him of saying he had an elaborate scheme that would redefine terror. Fox's Garrett Tenney has more.
In online chat rooms, Amir al-Haggagi allegedly said he wanted to kill thousands of people in the name of the Islamic State. And in newly released surveillance video from the FBI, he detailed his plan for a series of attacks in the San Francisco area.
How I'm seeing it, I'm seeing that we could get away so easily.
Prosecutors say the 23-year-old's plans included bombing gay bars, lacing cocaine with rat poison and giving it away at nightclubs, and planting explosives inside backpacks on UC Berkeley's campus.
Al-Haggagi's family claims he's simply a sarcastic young man who likes being provocative, but he is facing up to 47 years in prison, and he's now scheduled to be sentenced early next month.
Suspect was also caught on video talking about possibly setting fires in Northern California.
An elementary school teacher in DeKalb County, Georgia, has been caught stealing a student's violin.
Safe to say, he won't be nominated for Teacher of the Year. Video shows 21-year-old Khalif Jones of Stone Mountain stealing the instrument from the Brockett Elementary School cafeteria, then walking with the violin through the hallways before leaving with it. Police were called after the 9-year-old student came home without the instrument. Why'd he do it? Detectives say Jones told them he stole the violin because he needed money to pay for a $700 ticket issued by police. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Well, it's being called a miracle. A Texas girl's inoperable brain tumor has disappeared.
Doctors say they cannot explain how the tumor on 11-year-old Roxley Doss's brain just went away, and since there's no known cure for the rare type of tumor, the family turned to prayer. And doctors say, absent another explanation, maybe that's why it no longer shows on the MRI scan. Roxley isn't out of the woods yet. She'll continue to undergo radiation treatment as her thankful parents and doctors keep a close eye on future scans of her brain. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We'll look at traffic here on the Tuesday morning commute. We do have a traffic accident in northwest Wichita. This is on Zoo Boulevard near I-235. We also have the report of an injury traffic accident in the 900 block of North Rock Road near Derby High School. Traffic update, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And now a look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Some high clouds are moving in from the south and west to start the day. We become partly cloudy with sunshine at times this afternoon. Our high 56. Cloudy overnight, our low 38. And it's starting to look like the better rain chances are going to be to our south and east tomorrow. It'll be breezy Wednesday with a high 54. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
And now mostly cloudy, south wind at 8 miles per hour, 35 degrees. We've warmed up about 8 degrees in the past hour, so it's warming up out there. 35 right now. Again, the high around 55. Talk about a big pig. Authorities in Florida say a 400-pound hog was captured over the weekend in the city of Paul Bay. Florida Today reports a wildlife trapper got a call reporting a very large boar hog that was tearing up sod around a playground. The police blocked traffic around the area, and trapper James Dean came along with four hunting dogs and four men. Dogs sniffed out the huge hog within minutes. The crew tied up the swine before lugging it into a cage, and then Dean says the hog was euthanized. Or they turned it into bacon. Talk about a boar hog. I'm thinking they're talking about a wild, you know, wild boar.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's not like your old farm animal. That's a potentially dangerous animal.
Yeah.
They can do a lot of damage. A North Carolina woman has been charged with driving while impaired after a crash with a school bus that sent 13 students to a hospital. North Carolina Highway Patrol says Kimberly Ann Austin was also charged with driving left of center. Austin's car crossed the center line, hit the bus carrying a driver and 19 students. The patrol says 12 of the students suffered minor injuries, while one was in critical condition but expected to survive. So, an impaired driver out slamming into a school bus.
Not good.
8:12 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Things calming down a little bit for you, Ted. I know you had the radio show that you were doing for three nights last weekend. You got any more theatrics planned here in the holiday season?
No.
All right. Well, that's... No, now you can just
now that show is over. Now I'm in the panic of Christmas is a week from today.
Yeah,
that's my current panic.
You get into a show like that, of course, there's some rehearsal to be done and so forth, and maybe you lose track of going Christmas shopping for a little bit. 8:10, Steve and Ted, and the Wichita City Council today, as we talked about with the mayor yesterday on Mondays with the mayor, they have an agenda that, I mean, I looked at the agenda pack. You can get this online at the Wichita City Council webpage. And you can look at their agenda every week. Now, they're going to start off this morning. They've got about four or five citizens who want to speak in public, and a couple of them are going to be talking about the police department and just different things. And then they're going to go into all this business they have today. Well, I think it's going to be the last city council meeting of the year.
Oh, really?
I mean, I believe it's the last. Well, yeah, I think the mayor told me it's a lot.
Well, yeah, because the next one will be Christmas Day, and they won't meet then.
Can't do that.
And the next one will be in 2019.
Yeah, so there you go. And they got a lot to do. They're going to talk about this plan that could give about $200,000 to the folks at the Starlight Drive-In to buy a new projector or two.
Whatever. Well, they're not going to give it to them. It's a proposed loan.
It's a loan. And City Council member James Clendenin, that Starlight's in his district. And he's proposing, you know, when the city sold the Hyatt Regency Hotel, they got $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that money, that was in 2016, that money was divided up among the city council districts, $6 million each. And then they could use that money to do certain things within their district. Well, Clendenin says to give us some of that $20 million, or that $6 million for my district, and we'll make him a loan, get him a couple, is it one or two projectors? I thought it was two, maybe.
A couple.
They sold those, and now we have a new owner for the Starlight. Here we go. Sounds like a good idea.
Those numbers don't add up. Each district didn't get $6 million.
It's five districts. No, that doesn't, does it?
No. I think
whose math is that? I think that's Gordon Basham's math, maybe. I don't know.
I thought each district got like $2 million or something. I thought like...
How many? There's five districts.
It was a $20 million, no, six districts.
Is there
it was
six?
A $20
okay.
million. It was a $20 million sale. I think each district got $2 million, and then the other $8 million they used for a lot of street projects.
Ah, that sounds closer, doesn't
yeah.
it? We may
I
have
think
a,
it's something like that.
We have a little math mistake maybe there, but there's some money there available. That's the point, and possibly making a loan might be a good idea. I don't know. It's a drive-in theater, of course. When I was a kid, we went to the drive-in theater quite a bit. Especially we got into high school, and my friends and I would go see movies at the drive-in.
Back then, there were a dozen or more
and
all over the place.
It was something to do in the summertime and a great way to spend an evening. And most of the time, I went to the Westport out there on West Street. And that was a huge drive-in. The Westport out on West Street was huge, Ted. It took up a lot of that area right there where so much of the business – it's all business now, but over there around Town West.
Yep.
And that was the one on the west side. Now, the K-42, which is down on K-42,
mm-hmm.
for several years was owned by a good friend of ours, a guy named Ben Moore. And he was a very good friend of my boss at the time. And so we'd go down to the K-42 quite a bit and see movies with Ben. But I don't know. Is it something that's, it's a time has passed? There seems to be some people who are interested if they can get some, if they can get some good movies in there. Maybe they should have promotions and so forth. In other words, I don't know. So a little more, if that's what they do with minor league baseball, they got added attractions. Maybe you can have the hot dog race. The hot dog can race the popcorn or something like that. But a little promotion like that might help. Anyway, We'll keep an eye on the Starlight Drive-In Theater situation for you.
And well, the fact that it's the last one is kind of...
The last one, yeah.
Once, you know, it kind of hit people between the eyes. Once it's gone, they're not nobody's going to build a new drive-in.
Doesn't look like it, does it?
So, you know, if it goes, it's gone forever. So I think some people rallied to the cause. Obviously, there's some sort of anonymous donor that ponied up a lot of money somewhere along the line to get this to happen.
All right, so they're going to be considering that at the city council meeting today. Coming up on 8:18 now with Steve and Ted, and sports time here on a Tuesday morning. And the KU's playing basketball tonight, Ted, right?
Yeah, the Jayhawks, of course, ranked number one in the nation, undefeated, 9-0, one of nine undefeated teams remaining in Division I men's basketball. Jayhawks try to go to 10-0 tonight. They will take on the Coyotes of South Dakota, first time they've ever met. KU has won 39 straight games in Allen Fieldhouse as the number one ranked team in the nation. That's a streak that goes back for 24 years, back to the 90s. KU is a 21.5-point favorite going into this game tonight. Jayhawks, number one ranked in action tonight. Live pregame coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. The game will tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. Listen to it live on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 a.m., 97.5 FM. Kansas is ranked number one, as we said, heavily, easily in both polls that came out yesterday. KU getting 87% of the first place votes in the coaches poll, 86% of the top votes in the Associated Press poll. Duke is number two. Kansas State is getting enough votes to be among the top 30 in both polls. A college basketball note for the Shocker basketball program. Wichita State freshman Chance Moore is leaving the program. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. He has said he is going to leave the Shocker basketball team and seek a transfer elsewhere. 6'7" wingman did play a year at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, but never seemed to catch on with the Shockers this year in his freshman year. Had a lot of trouble finding playing time. Only played 20 minutes. Only appeared in four of the Shockers' 10 games so far. Only scored 3 points. But Chance Moore has decided that he might have a better fare elsewhere and is leaving the Shocker men's basketball program. We'll talk some pro football tonight. It's the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. That'll be at 7 o'clock tonight. And that's right here on your home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Only 2 weeks to go in the season. Next up for the Chiefs will be Sunday night at Seattle. Right now, the Chiefs are the number one team in the conference. They're trying to get a couple of wins here and hold on to home field advantage heading into the playoffs. Yeah. So we'll see how the Chiefs do, and they'll talk about it tonight on the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Last night was Monday Night Football in the NFL, wrapping up the week with the New Orleans Saints, the top team in the league, on the road at Carolina. Not a great game. It was close, but there certainly wasn't a lot going on by either team. But the Saints did have a pretty interesting performance from Alvin Kamara, former Hutchinson Community College Blue Dragon, who scored the only touchdown of the night for the Saints. You heard the game. Heard last night on KFH.
From the 17 of Carolina, second down and three. It's a handoff to Kamara over the right tackle. Got a block at the 15 outside the numbers, the 10 to the far sideline, the 5. He runs to the pylon on the goal line, and that is a touchdown. 16-yard touchdown run, a sprint by Kamara. And the Saints have taken the lead, 12-7, with 12-12 to play in the fourth.
And the Saints would go on to win that game 12-9. Kamara did have 153 all-purpose yards, including a 50-yard kickoff return that set up another Saints score. Saints finished 7-1 on the road this year and 12-2 overall. With 2 weeks to go in the regular season, there will be two home games coming up for the Saints, who are the top team in the NFL. NBA basketball action last night. The Minnesota Timberwolves win at home, beat the Sacramento Kings 132-105. In the starting lineup for the T-Wolves, Andrew Wiggins, the former Kansas Jayhawk, had 17 points, 5 rebounds, as the Timberwolves won their third straight home game. And we have home hockey action tonight, downtown Wichita for the Thunder, 7:05 game time at Intrust Bank Arena, the Thunder hosting the Kansas City Mavericks. It's the final home game for the Thunder before Christmas. It's ugly sweater night. Wear your ugly Christmas sweater, you get a ticket for $5 to the Thunder game tonight. And a happy birthday to a former Kansas City Royals third baseman who had a couple of stints with the Royals and holds a couple of Royals records. Top 10 all-time in Royals runs driven in and doubles. 11th all-time in Royals hits. Joe Randa celebrating a birthday today. He is 49 years old. He is one of only three Royals ever to get six base hits in a nine-inning game.
I can't name the other two.
The other two are Bob Oliver and Kevin Seitzer.
Bob Oliver from the
early
days. I
never would have guessed that. Yeah, Bob Oliver from way back in the late 60s.
He was their first star, one of their first stars. Yeah.
So happy birthday to Joe Randa, who is 49 today. That's sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. What do you believe about the border? That's coming up. Traffic and weather on the way. Stephen Ted in the morning on KNSS.